This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where the Vietnam War continues to divide this great country like no other episode in America's past. If you don't believe me, just consider for a moment the example of a presidential candidate named John F. Kerry. John Kerry said when he was protesting the Vietnam War that this was the biggest nothing in history. That's what he said when he testified before the Senate of the United States, that ultimately the Senate and the administration and the generals in Vietnam were asking Americans to die for the biggest nothing in history. But at the same time, well, actually years later, that same John Kerry, the same guy, speaks accepting the Democratic nomination for President of the United States and says, I defended my country 35 years ago, meaning in Vietnam. All right, was it defending his country or was it the biggest nothing in history? Can't be both. We need to know the truth about Vietnam. We need to blow away some of those persistent, poisonous, terribly destructive lies that infect every discussion about the Vietnam War and about people's own recollections about Vietnam, because so many of us have recollections that are colored by our own experience, either as veterans of the Vietnam War or for some of us as veterans of the so-called peace movement. Which side was right during the battles over Vietnam policy years ago? And who is right concerning some of these common myths that are put out there about Vietnam? The first of the big lies is the lie that says America was involved in an unconstitutional conflict in Vietnam and that the purpose of that unconstitutional conflict was American imperialism and domination of the whole world. We've been talking about the fact that the Vietnam War was part of an American response to the genuinely evil empire, to the monstrous evil of international communism, of which Ho Chi Minh, the leader of the communists in Vietnam, was very much a part. He was not independent of his Chinese overlords. He was hugely dependent upon the supplies, upon money, upon diplomatic support, upon coordination with his Russian masters, and to a lesser extent with his Chinese masters. The irony here was that because the history, long history, of the Vietnamese people struggling for independence against China, which they did from the first century A.D. until they achieved independence from China in 939, they were more reluctant to be part of the Chinese sphere of influence than they were to be part of the Russian sphere of influence. But Vietnam became by far the major destination for Russian military and foreign aid. And the Soviets poured millions and millions and millions of rubles of tanks, particularly of anti-aircraft facilities, of all kinds of support to the Vietnamese communists, not because the Russians were good guys, but because they coordinated the Vietnam War as part of their global strategy against the United States. And the United States responded in kind. And this was not something that divided American leadership. It was not a partisan issue. It was a remarkably nonpartisan issue, in fact. And one example of that came when Lyndon Johnson was trying to decide about going to war in a much more decisive way, sending tens of thousands of Marines who originally landed in Da Nang in 1965 and expanding the war, eventually bringing 500,000 American troops to Vietnam. When he was trying to decide that, he communicated with former President Dwight Eisenhower, the great war hero of World War II and a near great president of the United States. And on February 17, 1965, former President Dwight Eisenhower, Republican, told President Lyndon Johnson, Democrat, that the U.S. has put its prestige onto the proposition of keeping Southeast Asia free. We cannot let the Indochinese Peninsula go. I hoped it would not be necessary to use the 6 to 8 divisions mentioned, but if it should be necessary, then so be it. In other words, contrary to the example of some other recent presidents named Clinton or Carter in particular, Dwight Eisenhower very much supported the foreign policy of his successors, Kennedy and Johnson. And those three presidents were absolutely together, as was Johnson's successor, Richard Nixon. So a total of four presidents in the necessity of resisting communist aggression against South Vietnam. South Vietnam had been set up with the cooperation and with aid and support and sponsorship by the United States. It had been set up as a outpost, a bulwark of anti-communist strength against the advancing communist hordes, and they really were advancing at that time. And it had been done also in terms of providing American support and increased levels of American support. It had been done constitutionally. As Michael Lind makes clear in his fine book, and I do recommend it, it's called Vietnam, the Necessary War, there are two kinds of declarations of war in American history. One is a general declaration of war where Congress just votes outright, yeah, we're going to go to war. And then there's the whole idea of a conditional declaration of war. And by his count, there have been 11 declarations of general war in American history, and there have now been 14 conditional declarations of war. Vietnam was one of them. How do we know? Just read the text of what Congress voted for goodness sake. For people who say this was an undeclared war, what did the members of the House of Representatives who voted unanimously for this, what did the 98 U.S. senators, the only two who voted against it were Wayne Morris of Oregon and Ernest Gruening of Alaska, two fiercely independent Democrats, voted against the declaration of war, but everybody else voted for it in the entire Congress, the entire House of Representatives, and 98 U.S. senators. And part of what they voted for said, this resolution shall expire when the president shall determine that the peace and security of the area is reasonably assured by international conditions created by action of the United Nations or otherwise, except that it may be terminated earlier by concurrent resolution of the Congress. In other words, Congress could repeal that resolution, as they eventually did. But the idea that they didn't authorize the war, that the president was acting alone, that is a bogus idea. It is a lie. But there is another deeper lie. And it's one that still plagues so many of the people who served in Vietnam. More than 2 million Americans served in combat in Vietnam. And many of those people have to deal with this second lie all the time. A lie that says that the U.S. military lost the war, that these were the first U.S. servicemen to come home as losers. But not only were they treated as losers by many of their fellow citizens when they came home from the war, they were also treated as war criminals. Because the second lie about the Vietnam War not only says the U.S. military lost the war in Vietnam, but that our military committed horrendous atrocities in the process. To understand how pernicious, how wrong this lie is, it's necessary to go back and look at a little bit of the political and military history that led to the greatly expanded American effort in Vietnam under President Johnson. Anyone who actually reads the history, anyone who reads some of the declassified material from the Soviet Union, anyone who reads some of the private correspondence and the earlier statements of President Kennedy, of his brother Robert Kennedy, who was chief advisor in many ways, and his attorney general, anyone who says that Lyndon Johnson sort of went crazy and decided to go into Vietnam is missing the big picture. The big picture is, as Stanley Carnot, the liberal historian of Vietnam, has pointed out, and everyone has pointed out, that there was a consistent U.S. policy, that South Vietnam needed to be defended. The communists had tried for a very long time to undermine it. Starting in 1960, while Eisenhower was still president of the United States.
You're listening to The Michael Medved Show. If you enjoy The Michael Medved Show, consider becoming a Medhead member today at michaelmedved.com. Why become a Medhead? Well, for one, it's a great way to support the program and the content that Michael Medved puts out every weekday. You get commercial-free audio, the radio program on demand 24/7, an archive of Michael's commentaries, Call the Week, his In Light of History podcast, and so much more. Medhead Basic is just $7.50 a month for 12 months, and if you become a Medhead Plus member, member, you get everything previously described, plus stream every single audio program available at the MedVed History Store for free. Shows on the Revolutionary War, the First Thanksgiving, the life of Ronald Reagan, Abraham Lincoln, and dozens more titles. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and subscribe today.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly 2 decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs Generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
Broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, 3 Big Lies About the Vietnam War.
There was a consistent U.S. policy that South Vietnam needed to be defended. The communists had tried for a very long time to undermine it. Starting in 1960, while Eisenhower was still president of the United States, the communists had set up the NLF, the National Liberation Front, the so-called Viet Cong. And the whole purpose of the Viet Cong was not to try to challenge the Diem regime, the pro-American regime in Vietnam, at the ballot box. It was to challenge the regime with bullets. They had begun killing people. They had begun burning villages, taking over villages, trying to destabilize this pro-Western regime with a guerrilla war. They had already achieved iron control of North Vietnam. Now they were determined to go into the South. And we had helped to set up a South Vietnamese army, but that army needed a lot of help. President Kennedy sent 16,000 U.S. advisors into Vietnam. They were specifically asked not to participate in combat, but many of them died. There were over 50 who died because they were targeted by the guerrillas. They were targeted by the communists who wanted to drive the Americans out of Vietnam and wanted to drive the South Vietnamese government into oblivion. If you want to hear about some of the fanaticism of the communists, what you need to do is listen to their own words, some of their own confessions after the war. These were extraordinarily brutal, extraordinarily ruthless people who eventually forced America into a wider war. I'll show you how coming up is part of exposing the three big lies of the Vietnam War.
For more history shows, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or become a Medhead today at MichaelMedved.com.
Well, I'm not going to point anymore, and I'll leave that for yourself. Maybe you're still walking, you're still talking, you'd like to keep your health. But every time I read the paper, them old feelings come on. We're waist-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on.
And we're pushing on the Michael Medved Show, a special broadcast, The Three Big Lies About the Vietnam War. Pete Seeger, folk singer, member of the Communist Party at one point, longtime leftist, was one of the people who pushed forward with some of those lies, with his songs like Waist Deep and the Big Muddy, suggesting that the United States was suicidal, it was doomed, that we lost the war on the battlefield in Vietnam. General William Westmoreland, who for several years was the supreme commander of American forces in Vietnam, was the best known of our commanders during the Vietnam War. General Westmoreland met with a North Vietnamese colonel after the war. And General Westmoreland made a point which was emphatically true. You know, he said, you never defeated us on the battlefield. And the North Vietnamese colonel replied, that may be so, but it is also irrelevant. Why irrelevant? Because it wasn't battlefield defeat they were after. It was defeat in the American political arena. And that's what they achieved. In terms of the battlefield, no American army has ever fought more heroically, more effectively, or with fewer atrocities, or a smaller percentage of civilian casualties in modern warfare than our troops of all kinds, including the application of air power in Vietnam. It is a lie to suggest that the Vietnam War was immoral by its very nature or by its purposes. It was nothing of the kind. We were dealing with an enemy that was deeply, deeply fanatical. And if you doubt that, let me quote for you the words of the ferocious Vietnamese general, Vo Nguyen Giap, General Giap, who structured the communist Tet Offensive and so many of the other forces of North Vietnam and so many of the other enterprises of North Vietnam that were launched against the American military during the Vietnam War. General Giap said this, every minute, hundreds of thousands of people die on this earth. The life or death of 100, 1,000, tens of thousands of human beings, even our compatriots, means little. When Stanley Carnell, Vietnam historian, interviewed General Giap in March of 1990, he repeated that his only concern had been victory, and that he was never worried about casualties, which is why the American obsession with body counts, simply saying that more of the enemy died than of our forces, which was always true. They had suffered an unbelievable level of losses, but it didn't matter. Stanley Carnell asked General Giap, how long would you have gone on fighting against the United States? He instantly replied, another 20 years? Maybe 100 years. As long as it took to win, regardless of cost. That's what the U.S. was dealing with. Ho Chi Minh, the creator of North Vietnam, the communist dictator and mass murderer who launched that regime, said to the French on the eve of his war against the French in 1946, "You can kill 10 of my men for every one I kill of yours, but even at those odds, you will lose, and I will win." And one more statement that I came across, and this is just so unbelievable because it so perfectly captures the ferocious spirit of the enemy in Vietnam, and a spirit that the United States had to cope with for all of the years of bitter, bitter, and deadly combat in the war. This is a remark by Comrade Lee Duan, Secretary General of the Vietnam Communist Party. It was on the occasion of the 4th Congress of the Communist Party of Vietnam in December of 1969. Now, they had just suffered some of their worst casualties of the war. The Tet Offensive was a battlefield disaster for the North Vietnamese. They launched this massive invasion, coordinated invasion, all over South Vietnam, and everywhere they got slaughtered. Now, first they captured the city of Hue, the old imperial capital. They murdered up to 30,000 civilians under horribly brutal circumstances. But in the end, the Americans and our South Vietnamese allies fought heroically, overcame the communists, and they lost everywhere. But even after that, here is what Lee Duan, the Secretary General of the Communist Party of Vietnam, told the delegates for their 4th Congress of the party. "Hardly had our people emerged from the great war of resistance against the French colonialists when they engaged in another struggle against the unprecedentedly atrocious, aggressive war unleashed by U.S. imperialism. The chieftain of imperialism, the most cruel enemy of mankind, the United States. In this contest, the U.S. imperialists hope to crush our people within a short time. Yet under the correct leadership of our Communist Party, and with the wholehearted support of brothers and friends the world over, our people and our army and the whole country fought with great heroism and won a most brilliant victory." Well, they actually had a battlefield disaster. "The victory of our people in the patriotic war of resistance against U.S. aggression will stand the test of time, will go down in the history of our nation as one of the most brilliant chapters, a radiant symbol of the complete victory of revolutionary heroism and human intelligence, and will go down in world history as a great international importance and of profound epic-making character." And just a little bit more. "Our glorious party comes to this 4th Congress over brimming with enthusiasm and revolutionary energy, rapidly grown up in its political stature and creative power, more united and of one mind than ever, bound more than ever to the class and to the nation and to the great international army of communists, to the fighters who have been struggling for independence, freedom, and social progress the world over." Make no mistake, this was part of a coordinated communist movement to defeat the United States and to help bring on the utopia of world communism.
You're listening to a special broadcast of The Michael Medved Show, 3 Big Lies About the Vietnam War.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden delivering a New Year's message to the nation.
Well, my hope is that everybody has a healthy, happy, and safe New Year.
In a pre-recorded interview on ABC's Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest, the president expressed optimism, stating that he wishes for everyone to recognize that the U.S. is in a better position than any country in the world to lead the world. The conflict between Israel and Hamas persisting in the Gaza Strip. An Israeli forces spokesperson has indicated that the military offensive in Gaza might extend through 2024 as their forces prepare for an extended period of combat. Southern California experienced a 4.1 magnitude earthquake just before 8:30 Monday morning. The U.S. Geological Survey stated that the epicenter was off the coast of Rancho Palos Verdes in Los Angeles County. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Of the Michael Medved Show, three big lies about the Vietnam War.
Make no mistake, this was part of a coordinated communist movement to defeat the United States and to help bring on the utopia of world communism. As a matter of fact, 1965 shaped up as a crucial year. The United States had sent advisors to Vietnam to help our allies, the South Vietnamese. And yet guerrilla war continued to rage in the South, and the regime in South Vietnam looked increasingly shaky. In fact, President Kennedy made a decision to go for a coup against Diem, who ended up getting murdered in a U.S.-sponsored coup, and bringing other officers who were probably less effective, less vigorous than Diem, to the fore. But 65 was a crucial year, because during that year, the dictator of Indonesia, a communist named Sukarno, had adopted a slogan, Crush America. He had withdrawn Indonesia from the United Nations and announced the formation of a rival body, the Conference of the New Emerging Forces. Speaking in 1965, he spoke of a Jakarta, Phnom Penh, Hanoi, Beijing, Pyongyang axis, meaning North Korea, Cambodia, Vietnam, and Indonesia. And he predicted that China would strike a blow against the American troops in Vietnam from the north, while Indonesia would strike from the south. If this doesn't worry you, it should. This was a very serious threat. And Lyndon Johnson, maybe the wrong man at the wrong place at the wrong time, had to respond. We'll tell you about his response coming up.
Three big lies about the Vietnam War. This is the Michael Medved Show.
Medved Show, a special broadcast called The Three Big Lies About the Vietnam War. If you feel nostalgic for old 1960s peace and protest songs like this one, it's about time you face some of the truth about the Vietnam War, which is what we're doing on this special show. 1965 was a decisive year in terms of American policy in Vietnam, because that was the year where President Johnson made the commitment to absolutely change the idea of simply providing American advisors to the emerging and developing South Vietnamese army. And one of the things that basically people misremember about the war, one of the falsehoods that comes out about the war and about the military conduct of the war, which is the lie that we're concentrating on right now, this hour, is the idea that America basically fought the war alone. We didn't. Most of the casualties on our side in the war, by far most of them, were not Americans. They were Vietnamese. There were 280,000 Vietnamese who died fighting in Arvin, fighting in the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, which was our ally in the Vietnam War. We lost 58,000. They lost 280,000. And countless civilians as well, and that doesn't even count the killing that went on after the war was over and after the United States left. Part of what was going on at this time was a concerted communist push to dominate all of Asia. And part of that dominance was supposed to come from Indonesia, where an Indonesian dictator named Sukarno had pulled out of the UN and had threatened to strike a blow directly against American troops in Vietnam. Well, fortunately, Sukarno fell himself in a bloody coup. He was replaced by Suharto, a more pro-American, or at least more pro-Western dictator. Not a pleasant guy either. But at least that got rid of him in Indonesia. Michael Lind writes that in 1965, the prospect of communist takeovers in Indochina that would link Mao's China to a possibly communist Indonesia was regarded with dread by the United States and Britain and by their allies in the region like Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, and Australia. Even more important than the possibility of falling dominoes was America's credibility as a superpower with worldwide military commitments to weak and endangered allies and client states. He makes the point, Michael Lind, and I think it's a great point, that this was considered so important at the time that Great Britain, which had a tiny army relative to the U.S., Britain committed 50,000 troops to Malaysia because they were so afraid of the fall of Indochina. They weren't directly in Vietnam, but they were pretty much right next door because this was considered a central front in the Cold War, and Britain was part of that effort. And as a matter of fact, the archival evidence that's turned up since the Soviet Union fell, they've released all of these communist archives, absolutely confirms what American policymakers were saying at the time, which was that there were aggressive intentions by the Soviet Union, by their Chinese allies and rivals, and very much by the North Vietnamese to help achieve communist dominance of all of Southeast Asia, all of Indochina. In fact, that new archival evidence supports, well, some of the decision-making of Lyndon Johnson. Johnson told Bill Moyers in 1965 that if the U.S. did not act to defend South Vietnam, they'll think we're yella and don't mean what we say. Who? Moyers asked him. The Chinese. The fellas in the Kremlin. They'll be taking the measure of us. And so they were. When Johnson ran for president in 1964 against Goldwater, it is absolutely true that he pledged, I seek no wider war, but that was true. He didn't want a wider war. He wanted to follow the Truman approach to the Vietnam War. The approach that Truman used in the Korean War was different from what MacArthur wanted. MacArthur, who had been general-in-chief, felt that we should take the war all the way into North Korea and go for uniting Korea and getting rid of the North Korean regime altogether. Truman felt that that would be a much too bloody a war, would risk really World War III, getting the Soviets and Stalin directly involved, so he just fought for a draw. Johnson was also determined to fight for a draw. There was no attempt by the Johnson administration to go after the North Vietnamese and to obliterate that regime. Had there been, it might have been a very different war. In fact, some of the military experts say that's the crucial mistake, that fighting for a draw, Johnson could only end up achieving a defeat. I'll explain that logic to you and some of the debates about military strategy in the Vietnam War as part of this special broadcast coming up.
Three big lies about the Vietnam War. This is the Michael Medved Show.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean...
Special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show on the three big lies about the Vietnam War. Not all of the songs of the Vietnam era were anti-war. The Ballad of the Green Berets was a smash hit, extolling...
These are men... America's best.
Men, America's best became a smash hit and accompanied the movie by John Wayne back in 1967, also praising the Green Berets and the heroic performance of America's fighting men in Vietnam. What was the problem? Why is it that with the dedication and the heroism of Americans in Vietnam, heroism very well and very accurately captured in the fine Mel Gibson movie, We Were Soldiers. Why did we end up losing the war? And we did. I mean, after all, our men were fighting to protect a government of South Vietnam that no longer exists, that was overwhelmed after America left the war, was overwhelmed by the communists. Well, William S. Moreland, who was the supreme commander in Vietnam, wrote an autobiography. And he basically blamed Lyndon Johnson, not for going into the war, because I think the argument is overwhelming that any American president, Republican or Democrat, whether his name was Kennedy or Eisenhower or Nixon or Johnson or Ford, any American president would have made the decision to commit forces to Vietnam.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, Three Big Lies About the Vietnam War. For more history shows, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or become a Medhead today at MichaelMedved.com.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, MichaelMedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for Amfed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call Amfed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, 3 Big Lies About the Vietnam War.
I think the argument is overwhelming that any American president, Republican or Democrat, whether his name was Kennedy or Eisenhower or Nixon or Johnson or Ford, any American president would have made the decision to commit forces to Vietnam, to keep our commitment to the Republic of South Vietnam and to protect them against aggression from the North. We had just done that in Korea just 10 years before. Were we supposed to now behave differently to show that we were losing our resolve in the face of a renewed communist onslaught? Clearly, that would have been to mock all of the sacrifices of the more than 50,000 people who died fighting in Korea. That was something that wasn't going to happen. But the problem, General Westmoreland said, is that Johnson escalated the war too slowly. That he, for instance, had this intermittent stop-and-start bombing campaign. In fact, they called the bombing campaign Rolling Thunder. And basically, they'd bomb a little bit and then ask the North Vietnamese, you ready to negotiate? And they wouldn't be, and they'd bomb a little bit more. You ready to negotiate? And then they'd bomb a little bit more. And there were all these bombing halts, and Westmoreland feels that the effectiveness of the bombing could have been devastating if it had been concentrated and if it could have been all at once. I think there's a lot to that. Because part of the intermittent bombing allowed the Russians to help build up the anti-aircraft defenses, which ended up shooting down all kinds of American pilots and inhibiting our bombing campaigns in the future in the war. Had we concentrated the bombing campaign more directly, made it more devastating, it's possible that things would have gone differently. He also feels that the Johnson administration made a mistake in not going after sanctuaries that the Vietnamese were using, the North Vietnamese, in Laos and Cambodia. Something that Nixon did, but Nixon did it too late, only after he'd already committed to withdrawing Americans from Vietnam and had begun the process of taking our troops out of Vietnam. If we had destroyed the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which had been used to supply all of the North Vietnamese forces in the south, all of the guerrilla forces in the south, if we had destroyed their sanctuaries in Laos and Cambodia, the course of the war on the battlefield, as argued by many American strategists, including Harry Summers — Colonel Summers served 2 tours in Vietnam, and he has written very persuasively that we made a very big mistake. He says the Americans exhausted themselves in counterinsurgency efforts like a bull charging the Toreador's cape rather than the Toreador. The Toreador here was the government of North Vietnam. And what a number of the strategists say is that what we needed to do was to go after that government in a concerted way, that we needed to commit to a full-scale war and to level with the American people, which is something else that Johnson did that was extraordinarily misguided. constantly, it was a little drip, drip, drip. There was never a point at which Lyndon Johnson said, look, we are being challenged. We have to make an all-out commitment to this thing. And part of the biographers of Lyndon Johnson say he was so committed to his Great Society program, to his social spending, to remaking America, to his war on poverty. He didn't want to give up any of that to focus on winning the war. And the result was an indecisive war that the American people didn't really understand. People remembered World War II. In World War II, you could put little pins on the map. You could see we were moving forward. For instance, after we landed on D-Day, you could watch every day in the newspapers. We'd be moving further east, further east, further east, getting ready to capture Berlin. You could understand that war. There was nothing like that in Vietnam. The only thing you had was body counts. And, yeah, you could hear body counts, and you could hear that 5,000 North Vietnamese and Viet Cong fighters were killed and 400 Americans were killed. But the 5,000 enemy dead didn't matter. What mattered was the 400 American dead. Nor did it seem to matter that the left made bogus charges of genocide. One of the things that is so ludicrous about that, Gunter Lewy wrote this magisterial, huge book, An American Vietnam, in which he really looked at the military files and he went over it. And one of the things about this whole charge of genocide that is so ludicrous is that in 1965, when the American involvement began in earnest, the combined population of North and South Vietnam was 35 million. And then we allegedly did this genocide, trying to slaughter all the Vietnamese. And then we pulled out, America pulled out its troops in 73. So in those 8 years, the population of North and South Vietnam combined went from 35 million to 43 million. It makes the charge of genocide seem laughable. And Gunter Lewy writes in American Vietnam that it's also the whole charge of civilian casualties being disproportionate is ludicrous. In the Vietnam War, during the years of active American involvement, there was no more destruction of civilian life, both North and South, than other armed conflicts of the century, and a good bit less so than some, such as the Korean War. Where as many as 70% of those killed in Korea were civilians in Vietnam, Lewy writes, the proportion was at most 45%, which was approximately the same level of civilian casualties in World War II. And of course, a substantial percentage of these civilians were killed not by the Americans or the South Vietnamese, but by the very ruthless, I might add, Viet Cong and North Vietnamese, especially after 1969, when Nixon began drawing down the American involvement. What did the fighting man think the war was all about? We'll talk about that coming up.
Now, it's time for Medved on Movies.
Meryl Streep plays legendary Washington Post publisher Katherine Graham, and Tom Hanks is her hard-charging editor Ben Bradley, who uncover government secrets about planning for Vietnam in the Pentagon Papers, which becomes the central drama in The Post.
The Times says 7,000 pages detailing how the White House has been lying about the Vietnam War for 30 years.
The way they lied, those days have to be over.
Director Steven Spielberg does the predictable brilliant job in building tension and sketching vivid characters as the two newspaper professionals actually risk imprisonment in defying the Nixon administration in the 1970s.
Okay, people are concerned
about having a woman in charge
of the paper, that she doesn't have the resolve to make the tough choices.
Thank you, Arthur, for your frankness.
Let's do our jobs. Find those pages.
We're talking about exposing years of government secrets.
Is that legal?
What is it you think we do here for a living, kid?
The Post will remind many people of the recent Oscar winner Spotlight, also about intrepid journalists getting to the bottom of a great scandal. But this movie is more balanced, showing the clubby, privileged lives of dedicated journalists who nonetheless function inside the Beltway bubble. The plot is merely intriguing rather than thrilling, but Streep's luminous performance helps carry the film to a rousing conclusion. It's rated PG-13 for some passing harsh language. 3 stars for The Post, earnest but not quite inspiring.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
And whenever people tell lies about our servicemen in Vietnam or offer smears about what they did over there, I think of a letter that I've cherished ever since I discovered it. It's a letter written in the tradition of a fighting man going away to war and writing to his fiancée. In this case, his fiancée's name is Angela, in case something happened to him. And the veteran's name is Joseph E. Santoni. He's a New Yorker. And he wrote, "Dear Angela, this is by far the most difficult letter I shall ever write. What makes it so difficult is that you'll be reading it in the unhappy event of my death. You've already learned of my death. I hope the news was broken to you gently. God, Angie, I didn't want to die. I had so much to live for. You were my main reason for living. You're a jewel, a treasure. Please don't hate the war because it has taken me. I'm glad and proud that America has found me equal to the task of defending it. Vietnam isn't a far-off country in a remote corner of the world. It is Sagamore, Brooklyn, Honolulu, or any other part of the world where there are Americans. Vietnam is a test of the American spirit. I hope I have helped in a little way to pass the test. The press, the television screen, the magazines are filled with the images of young men burning their draft cards to demonstrate their courage. Their rejection is of the ancient law that a male fights to protect his own people and his own land. Does it take courage to flaunt the authorities and burn a draft card? Ask the men at Dak To, Con Tien, or Hill 875. They'll tell you how much courage it takes. Most people never think of their freedom. They never think much about breathing either, or blood circulating, except when these functions are checked by a doctor. Freedom, like breathing and circulating blood, is part of our being. Why must people take their freedom for granted? Why can't they support the men who are trying to protect their lifeblood, freedom? We must do the job that God set down for us. It's up to every American to fight for the freedom we hold so dear. We must instruct the young in the ways of these great United States. We mustn't let them take these freedoms for granted. I want you to go on to live a full, rich, productive life, Angie. I want you to share your love with someone. You may meet another man and bring up a family. Please bring up your children to be proud Americans. Don't worry about me, honey. God must have a special place for soldiers. I've died, as I've always hoped, protecting what I do hold so dear to my heart. We will meet again in the future. We will. I'll be waiting for you that day. I'll be watching over you, Angie, and if it's possible to help you in some way, I will. Feel some relief with the knowledge that you filled my short life with more happiness than most men know in a lifetime. The inevitable? Well, the last one. I love you with all my heart, and all my love for you will survive into eternity. Your Joey. And Joseph E. Santoni is one of the 58,000 names on the wall in Washington. He died less than a year after he wrote these words, serving his country in Vietnam. Was he serving his country? He was. What the war means is that he was a hero. People who served their country were heroes. Protesters who opposed the war were not. I'll tell you why as we continue on the three big lies about the Vietnam War.
Hey, want to feel young again? Are you tired, run down, have aches and pains, brain fog? This is science-based, not hype or fancy marketing. It really works. Carbon 60 helps detoxify your body on the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. It's like a bottle of electrons, helping your body to function better. You can also apply it on your skin, topically, over muscles, joints, or organs. Most people feel results within minutes. This is not a drug. It's organic carbon. Feel better today. About 95% of our users report more energy and clarity of mind within 10 days. Give us a call at Gruska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.